The bottom line is that from the salvation of Noah, okay, and his family, they were the only pure stock that had not been genetically tampered with or manipulated by fallen angels or other species.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason God forbid bestiality, and let's just talk about that in as easy way as possible, is because that's where all of the characters and all of the combination hybrids, chimeras, satyrs, which the book of Isaiah talks about, all the things that were in the days of Noah, Gary, those things are coming back. And we're talking about the reconstitution, the reanimation of mastodons. And we're talking about the reanimation. I can tell you point blank that the pharaohs of Egypt knew about the DNAs because of fallen angels, which were their progenitors. They claimed to be from the stars. Again, that's a different...
Steve, let me interrupt. A scientist today, and it was in the news just very, very few days ago, that scientists now have a mouse that has 100% mingling of the human genome throughout its entire body. And they're saying this is a great breakthrough because now we're just this far away from being able to produce a mouse human that will produce parts for human beings and that will enable us to cure human diseases by injecting these mouse-human combinations into the human bloodstream. And when I hear that, it makes my blood run cold.
Well, that's just the cursory, supposedly the good benefits of it.
Yes.
You know, the bottom line is that what do you got now, Mighty Mouse? No, you've got, or somebody said, you don't have Mighty Mouse, but you sure got a lot of politicians that fit that bill, okay? They basically don't do what they're elected to do. That's just my little political statement. But here's the thing, Gary. We're seeing right now the entire genetic manipulation of the human genome. We're seeing super soldiers, which I deal with in Genetic Armageddon, Today's Technology, Tomorrow's Monsters.
Wow.
Because when I wrote that, I think 12, 13 years ago, the point is that most people couldn't embrace the thoughts that I was presenting in there. Now we've got in vitro fertilization, and we've got all of the commingling of DNA, animal and human DNA. By the very basis of the Word of God, anybody who's familiar with Genesis should know that God said, after its kind. So every boundary, this is the thing that I guess I'm trying to get across, ladies and gentlemen, every boundary that God created for mankind is being abrogated by the powers of darkness, and they're working overtime to destroy the most amazing creation universe, so much so that, hey, if we weren't something special, do you think the devil would be working overtime to destroy all humanity?
Now, you're telling me that what I'm reading in the newspapers about genetic manipulation is not the half of it, right?
Oh, I wouldn't even say it's infinitesimally one part of it. It's so far beyond that. Over the years, Gary, and being on talk radio, a lot of people contact me. And the way I try and come up, I've been snookered a couple times, but I try and get three different validations by three unknown individuals over three different areas, whether it's military, intelligence, mm-hmm. or a scientific community, telling me the same thing independent. That's one of the reasons I've asked the Lord, Lord, help me, because this is my calling as a watchman, someone who's been as far ahead of the curve as I have. No human being could take the credit for that. That is the spirit. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. But prophecy is giving God's heart and his perspective on events before they happen. So the human genome is such a precious commodity. Jesus died for mankind. The scripture even makes it clear. He didn't die for the angels that sinned. But the thing that's critical is that the attempts to literally do away with mankind now are before us. And the degree that they're ready to do it through vaccinations, through RFID chip, through nanotechnology, it's no longer what they put on the outside that can damage you or damn your soul. It's what they can inject on the inside of you.
Now, we talk about giants occasionally in the biblical context, and we talk about the children of Israel. In fact, before when we were interviewing Steve, we mentioned the giants in the Promised Land that confronted the children of Israel. And I believe in those giants. I mean, implicitly, they're in the Word. I believe the Word. Are there giants around today?
Yes, there are. And the interesting part is I've talked to people from all over the world. Even people from the Solomon Islands, a gentleman who got a hold of me, he's since been murdered. from Guadalcanal area, the famous World War II battle of Guadalcanal, the Guadalcanalese giants. I've talked to people that have been to Tibet and the Himalayas and taken to the caves and seen literally giants in stasis. By the way, the fascinating thing about the giants, the giant mummies, every time I do a major television show like yours or do talk radio, Coast to Coast with George Norrie, I get calls from all over the world, and they give me such amazing information, sending me photos. I had an Indian Air Force major send me one of the most amazing photographs ever. It's a 14-foot giant in a sarcophagus in some town in India. I can't even pronounce the name. And he said, I'm a giant investigator, and you'd be surprised how many of the bones. Now, see, over in the Middle East and stuff, those they don't try and hide that stuff. They venerate it. Only when you come to America and have to deal with the great Smithsonian cover-up, 1909, we have the Kincaid expedition going down the Grand Canyon. And all seeming references to that are no longer existing in the Smithsonian, but yet the Phoenix Gazette carried the whole story on it. I've had, I won't say how many stars, I've had multi-star generals tell me point blank of the Grand Canyon, the citadels in the Grand Canyon. Remember this, ladies and gentlemen, the Grand Canyon, what we know as a Grand Canyon, imagine water being a lot higher. And it's tough for people, again, to focus on the fact that the Egyptians were here in the United States, in America. It's hard for people to understand that the myths, and going back to true legends, one of the things I cover is I cover the Aztecs, the Incans, the Mayans, and they all talked about the great white-skinned giants that came from the East. So all this stuff paints a mosaic. If anything I can say that I've been privileged to do, Gary, is God's given me a lot of puzzle pieces, and he's been so gracious and so wonderful to say, now put this piece there, Steve, put this piece there. Mm-hmm. And then I get to stand back and go, wow. And that's what I want. I want people to see the wow that the living God has presented for us.
So let's talk about the people who engage in the dark sciences, the Nazis. Now, a lot of people think the Nazis were in it to establish the Thousand-Year Reich. And it was strictly a political, monetary, military type of operation. But inside Nazism was occultism. In fact, it was based on Eastern mysticism, and it was based on the idea of creating the new man, the Superman.
The Übermensch.
The Übermensch.
And I don't do well with the German, so I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, but the Übermensch, the Superman, which, by the way, was the whole foundation for the Superman movie, which is out right now. Science fiction always is it's a pre-programming of the masses, usually with truth, to basically take them off guard and put it away. So let's talk about the Annenerbe. The Annenerbe was a specific group within the SS that went throughout the world looking for religious or mystical objects that had power. You see, the occultists know something that I pray the Christians are. Christians have the understanding that all the power of God comes through the gifts that God gave to the church, 1 Corinthians. But the occultists want that power. Christians spend too much of their time fighting the power of the occult, and they try and do it in their wisdom and strength. You can't do it. In other words, the occultists really believe what they believe. So Hitler sent out this select group of the Annenerbe, and they scoured the globe. They were looking for the spear of Longinus, the spear that pierced Jesus' side. They're looking for the grail, the cup at the Last Supper. They were looking for everything and anything. And even a group of them went to the Himalayas looking for Shangri-La, Shambhala.
Yes.
Fascinating. Nepal literally means the mountains of the fallen gods. Bhutan means the garden of the gods. So what we in the West go like this to, the East embraces this stuff. And this is the critical point, Gary. Genetic Armageddon now. Imagine, if you will, that there are departments in our Department of Defense that they want the Übermensch. That sounds pretty good to them. And the super soldier, you do a Google search on super soldier, you'll be surprised what you find. The Human Genome Project was to identify the different bloodlines, because with the Illuminati and with the people that are the globalists, the bloodline is everything. And we're told in Leviticus that the life is in the blood, and the Christian's life is in the blood of Jesus.
You know, all of this borders on the science fiction. It borders on sci-fi, and yet I've said for years when I read the Bible, the Bible is a book that transcends our physical world, and we take it by faith, all the wonders that we read about in the Bible, and yet there's another world, Steve, and I struggle to bring this message to our audience in such a way that they will be pulled along into what's happening right now. Christians need to wake up. And this is one of the reasons I enjoy speaking with you, because you're out there to wake people up, to shake people awake.
And I shake them all right.
and you do an amazing amount of research. Folks, Steve has connections with the scientific community, with other communities, people who know things. This thing is happening now, and it's happening so fast it's difficult to to describe the speed.
People have a desire to know this. Whether it was Shelley's Frankenstein, yeah. Whether it's the vampire fascination. Isn't it interesting? The vampires, they have to have the blood to live, right?
Right.
And what's America overtaken with? Actually, the world. The vampirism, okay? If that's not a predatory, flashing neon sign, the times we live in. And the fascination with zombies. When I first started talking about zombies, most people didn't understand that. Most people thought of it in the Caribbean realm of what's called Burundanga dust, and it's basically, never mind how it's made, but it puts you into a trance, a state
right.
of suspended animation can be brought out, and it kind of like the super hypnosis drug. But now we've got things going on where there are people who are saying, mankind, and they use so much contempt for that which Jesus died for. That's us. That's you, ladies and gentlemen. That Jesus died to redeem us, that they want to make sure that there's nobody left for Jesus to redeem. So they're going to do it through drought. They're going to do it through famine. I'm talking about generated drought and famine. They're going to do it through genetic engineering. They're going to do it through the medical fields. They're going to decide who lives, who dies. And now they swab you, meaning they take your DNA. Why would any law enforcement agency want your DNA? Simple question. But now, forced DNA? Methinks there's something more going on here. What I've been able to do, Gary, again, by the grace of God, it's been my calling, and after 9,000 hours of broadcast, I think I've done it to the point of saying, if you want to know the truth, if you want letter and verse in the Bible, we can give it to you. We can also give you the historic context, and we can also show you where it goes from here. I've had people do this. They put their fingers in their ears. They start singing and saying, I don't want to deal with it. It frightens me too much.
Yeah.
And I deal with that a lot. I mean, one time I said, should I sing along with you? Tell me what the tune is. But the point is that the idea of accepting truth that takes us out of our normal bias and our comfort zone is very threatening. I would guess this. This is just a quail guess, a QG. But the quail guess is probably 95% of the pastors in America would not preach what we're talking about. Even if we gave them 100 scriptures, which we can do, they would not preach it because they would say something like, well, my congregation would be too uncomfortable. You know what? You might find your congregations really open to the truth, and you'd be surprised at what the people of God, how they respond when someone preaches the truth.
Societies of men trying to improve mankind through science sounds wonderful. Hey, sounds great. Except science is not backed by God. That is to say, science is not driven through scriptural reality, through the spiritual truths that we find in Scripture. Science is driven by another set of realities, and it's driven by a set of realities that come from intruders via the dark side. And this is the sort of thing that Steve is warning about, and it's the sort of thing that I'm slightly uncomfortable talking about to you right now, because you may not have heard about it, and you may be saying, what, Gary, you've gone around the bend. But no, there are dark side intruders. They are interposed with our scientific community right now. Let's talk about that. What is modern science doing? Let's talk about DARPA, maybe, and some of the things that science is doing that is just pretty much on the dark side.
Well, I think the most telling, DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, they're the ones that wanting to build the super soldiers. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, when the movie The Terminator came out with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Skynet, we now are having the Snowden revelations of Skynet, and we now have autonomous robotic killing machines that are being programmed with artificial intelligence capabilities that basically they can just turn loose. So where have we seen that before? But if it even gets more, forgive me, it even gets more sinister than that. Because again, the idea is total information awareness equals total control. It's kind of like the old song, Zager and Evans, everything you think, do, and say was in the pill you took today. The point is that we're in a time like like no other. Yeah. Jesus said it. I love the words of Jesus. I tell people, listen, you can learn a lot from Jesus, you know. Get a red letter Bible if you don't know what his words are, but you can learn a lot from Jesus. He said, except the days be shortened, and for the elect's sake, they're going to be shortened, there be no flesh left alive. The contempt of science for humanity, singularity. We're talking about the end of man, the combination of men and machines. We're talking about longevity. You know, you don't have to worry about a hell if you're being told by the scientific community, hey, we're going to conquer by the year 2045, there'll be no death, okay?
Oh, boy.
You don't have to worry about hell. And forget God, he's not relevant. I'm not saying that. They're saying that.
Right.
Yet the Lord himself said at the beginning, and see, this is why Matthew 24 is probably the most amazing, and Luke 21, the two most amazing passages in scripture chapters, because they are talking about so much in the future that affects us now. And this stuff makes us appreciate the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you this, it's an exciting time, but you don't have to be afraid.
I know you're a man of prayer, and we've talked about it off the air, you know, and you believe in the power of prayer. You believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the
Absolutely.
Guiding Spirit of God. And you're not operating in fear. As you talk about these things, which are, you know, can be pretty scary, folks, genetic Armageddon and all these dark scientific movements and the Ananarba Society and so forth and so on, you can be a little bit frightened. We don't have to be frightened. Talk about that a bit.
We don't. Perfect love casts out all fear. But we have to have a love for the truth. See, people don't understand. That's part of the promise of a fearless existence. You only fear what you don't know. And so this is why it's so critical that those who are wondering about all this stuff and sensing, we talked about it, there's a sense of dread in the land. But the times are determining. You know, I used to pray, Lord, let me give the people of God a two-week warning. And the Lord said to me, Steve, you're praying the wrong way. Pray that their eyes will be open to the events that will determine the time. See, I thought it was a time, and there's an appointed time, and there's a specific time. For instance, the scripture says, in that day. Well, that was a specific day.
Right.
But in the days that lie ahead, that's an open-ended thing. So God differentiates, you know. Pastor David Langford's got a wonderful teaching on the specific times, the times and the seasons. Aren't we supposed to know that? Yet we're like guys standing in a rainstorm, and they go into the television studio, and they'll read some corny report. Well, it looks like our 30% chance of rain, and the guy's drenched, okay? There's something wrong with that report, you know? There's something really wrong with that report. So the thing is we're at a time, Gary, where genetic Armageddon, today's technology, tomorrow's monsters, the idea of race-specific biological pathogens, which I was the first guy to talk about, years ago, and there are stories, when I say years ago, 15 years ago, that would astonish people. But where does that bring us now? We're hearing all of the manipulated genome-style MERS, all of the different respiratory viruses, all these things. And there are things that are out there that if you understand that the world's leaders, the most formidable men of, quote, science out there, think that you and I are a virus, well, kind of makes me want to hit them with Lysol. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, disinfect them. Because that is their prime directive. Mankind is flawed.
Steve, we've got about a minute left. A little over a minute. What would you say in this last minute?
I would say that a really great way to approach this is so many people have contacted me from all over the world. And they said, Lord, I really want to know what's really going on. They used the word really twice. And God, in his grace and mercy, points them in this direction. Talking about spiritual conflict and the basis of it, that hasn't been really on the forefront of most evangelical Christians' mind. Now we're in a battle for our lives, we're in a battle for our existence, and we're in a battle for our children and grandchildren. And we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God.